Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week my guest is award-winning Radio 1 Extra breakfast producer, Adele Cross, who was made a Fellow of the Academy last September at the Radio Academy Festival. Adele is a former Radio Academy trustee and was chair of judges for our RAMP 2025 programme. She's passionate about helping young people get into the radio and audio industry and is the founder of the Crosspoint Consultancy, which gives career and development opportunities to 18 to 30-year-olds. She's very humble about all her career achievements, but she would confess to being great at baking a classic treat.
Adele, calm down. What are you doing? Yeah. Makes a great brownie. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you? Because I can't.
Listen, it's a trick because I'm gluten-free. So the real, I'm stuttering. I was so excited. The real thing is about how you get the right amount of chocolate and the right amount of fake gluten to make life worthwhile.
I either, when I make brownie, and I like baking, but they're either like molten lava in the middle or they're like chocolate crunch and you could break your teeth on them. I can't get them right.
It's a delicate balance, my darling. It's a delicate dance.
Really,
what can I tell you? You've either got it or you haven't. You know what I'm saying?
The dance of the brownies. I like it.
That's the next podcast title. We've got it.
Congratulations on your fellowship at the Academy. It was announced at the festival last September. We had four new fellows. How did you feel when you heard the news?
Utterly confused and, not going to lie, a little bit annoyed because I wanted to have lunch, right? Because I did the breakfast show that morning, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm up at 4 a.m. I'm polite. I'm doing my thing. And then I was asked to be in a panel. So I dressed up nice. Thank God. I didn't have the stinky, sweaty T-shirt from this morning. And I spoke to two trustees who are my friends, Rob and Kieran. I was like, yeah, I'll just, after the panel, I'll nip out, get an itsu, then come back. And lo and behold, they would not let me leave. I was like, why are you trapping me in this room? I want to leave. As I was grumbling, I saw Ray Paul walk towards the podium and I had this sinking feeling like, oh, that's why I'm here. What do I do? Is there spinach in my teeth? Can I run? No. So it was just a real surprise.
It wasn't a surprise to me, but it's always a surprise to the person. When I spoke to Kelly the other week, she was surprised as well.
Yeah, because, you know, I didn't invent radio. I didn't invent a genre. I haven't cured cancer. I just got up at 4 a.m. Do you know what I mean? So I'm thinking, why? It must be a mistake. It must be the other Adele you want. So I was thinking, you know, why is everyone staring at me? I better think of what to say. Smile at the people, Adele. Don't mess this up. I was just shocked. I just thought, I want to get, you know, a California roll. And I'm here saying thank you to the Radio Academy. Why am I here? But thank you so much. I'm blown away. And then I left and had a little cry. I really did.
Did you manage to get something to eat?
Yeah. It's just a surprise. But more than that, it's a real honour. And it's very, very humbling, more than anything.
Tell me about how your career in radio started.
Completely by accident. Ain't that ironic? I finished university. I did French and Italian at university and I was always late with my essays. There's a point to this, which meant I could type really, really quickly. So when I left university to get a job, because, you know, you got to eat, I joined a secretarial agency that worked for media companies. So I worked at Channel 4 before that, Teletubbies for a little bit, this show that no one knows called The Tribe that was from New Zealand ages ago. So I worked all around those places because I could do secretarial work and type really quickly. Lo and behold, I get a message from my agent saying, Adele, could you just do a week, you know, at Radio 4? They just need someone just to hold the fort. No more than that, just a week. I went, yeah, sure, okay, might as well. And I happened to work for an incredible woman called Gwyneth Williams, who was the editor at Radio 4 Current Affairs. And I basically stayed. 22-something years later, I'm still here. And it's just a case of bumping into this world by accident, just falling in love with it, being fascinated by it too. Because if we grow up in radio, we really just assume that the person on the other end of the speaker is someone, I don't know, I used to listen to Chris Tarrant as a kid. So it's Chris Tarrant just picking some songs and talking to me. Had no concept that there's a producer, sometimes more than one producer, and a script writer and a music team and trying to get their artists plugs for a certain song. Who knows this stuff happens? All I hear is one presenter talking to me. So when I even tiptoed into this world of radio as a secretary for a week, my mind was utterly, utterly blown. And I thought, ooh, this is different. And then I thought, ooh, I got to stay here. I think I found home. Yeah, honestly, a PA. And then I became a production coordinator. I started writing scripts, doing phone answering, all that kind of stuff. My first ever story was 9/11. Imagine that, which is wild, a real baptism by fire. But then also you understand the integrity and the majesty and the diplomacy and the generosity of our journalists. Because on that day, I saw firsthand, oh, this is how we get the truth to the people. This is how we respect one another. So then we had to basically send out the journalists who were there, which meant we had to get taxis to go to their house and find the passport and bring it back, go to Boots, get some, you know, toothpaste, underwear, etc., mm-hmm. so they can actually go coordinate to get a flight that would actually fly out that day after that catastrophe, which is not easy to do. Also, do we have anyone on the ground who could even help these journalists when they get there? Because this tragedy has just happened. So how do we make this cataclysmic event and relay it and be true to ourselves and then true to the story? So that's my first ever experience of doing a story. And the funny thing is this, so you're in the throng, you're getting things done, you're not emotional, you're just getting all the facts done. It wasn't until I actually got home and then watched the news myself that I then was struck by the enormity of what had happened. So my experience was in news, Radio 4, Current Affairs, Money Box. Then I went over to Newsbeat. And then I thought, I like this music thing. And I basically finangled my way into Raz Kwami's show and then basically stuck. I did a chart show with Vern and Reggie. I mean, it's just wild. And then I got a call from my editor saying, Adele, so Trevor Nelson, he's asked if you wouldn't mind producing a show from 10 to 1 with the Live Lounge. Is that all right? Can you imagine? No. Wait, pause. Can you actually imagine someone telling you that the Trevor Nelson has looked across the scene and said, no, I want her. And then you step up. Wild. I don't know what to tell you. It's absolutely wild. My first ever interview with a famous person was Dave Grohl. And I remember thinking, first of all, he's going to know I'm not into rock because I look like a little kid that likes hip hop. So I dressed, I found a t-shirt. Please don't judge me. I found a t-shirt that had Guns N' Roses on it. I know it's great. I know, but I tried to fit in. The night before, I was so nervous that I couldn't keep food down. I couldn't keep food in. Oh, went to the O2, went backstage. He was a little late, but that's okay. It's Dave Grohl. And then when the interview started, I opened the door. I said, hello, Mr. Grohl. I'm Adele from Radio 1. And he went, oh, hello. Welcome. Come in a real fun voice. And then I went, okay, I will. And then the whole thing just was calm and lovely. And I thought, oh yeah, you know, celebs are just like us, you know. So that was my first ever, why am I doing this moment. Like I say, I was meant to be here for a week. I'm kind of hoping no one finds out that I'm a fake.
So what first attracted you to radio? You talked about listening to Chris Tarrant, but who were your influences?
There's two sides to it, yeah? There's the culture of, okay, so I'm, my father's from Sierra Leone, my mother's from Trinidad. So there's a real culture of storytelling, sit by the fireplace and share stories kind of thing. So that whole idea of communication, storytelling, sharing tidbits kind of thing from one to the other has always been in my culture. So the radio has been important for that, where I feel quite lonely or quite sad and I can feel like I have a friend. We know this already, but you feel like you have a friend on the other side of the speakers. On the other hand as well, though, I remember radio being something where I learnt about the world around me. I learnt about my music. I learnt about what creates me. I learnt about my culture. So the influences I have are actually really varied. It is, like I say, the Chris Tarrants of this world. I remember one of the first things I worked with too on Radio 4 was with the Wreath Lectures with Sue Lawley. And I remember listening to her thinking, oh yeah, I feel really calm. I mean, all you're saying is, you know, can I have some tea or can I have a cup of coffee? But even hearing your voice, I remember now why I feel calm when I listen to the radio. I now remember why I feel centered and why I feel that there is something that grounds me with radio. So it's literally the two-pronged thing. It's the intimacy of storytelling and you never guess what happened, that kind of thing, and education. So one of my memories is listening to Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic by The Police and waking up to go to school and the sun was rising. So even now today in 2025, when I hear that song, I think about getting ready for school, listening to radio and playing The Police. It's almost as if the experience of radio has interwoven itself into my subconscious. I can't even explain a particular time or date. I just know it's always been there like a comfy comforter that just wraps me up. And it sounds quite lyrical and artistic and creative, but really it's just been there. And I think that's what's made me gravitate towards radio, because I am honored to think that I might be able to be part of someone's mourning the way that those breakfast show hosts were mourning for me.
Radio creates memories, doesn't it?
Definitely, yes.
Mentoring's a big part of your life. You're recently chair of judges for our RAMP scheme for 2025. What would you say to someone who wants to get into the radio or audio industry now?
The first thing is, know who you are. I know we'll keep hearing it, but it's the honest truth. Because if you're trying to be Georgie or Adele or Rajini Vaidyanathan, who reads the news, you're going to be a rubbish version because you're not yourself. And the inauthenticity is what's going to trip you up. So even if you're weird, be weird. That's fine. I'm a stranger. You don't even know. If you're going to be elegant, be elegant. If you're going to be of the people, be of the people. But be something that is genuine to you and be authentic, because you know what? The audience can smell it when you're faking it. So be yourself, number one. Number two, be excellent. I am a stickler for just being the best you can be, because I don't give shoddy work. Look, you've discussed, I'm looking for the perfect recipe brownie. Even brownies have to be of a certain caliber, you know what I mean? So if you're going to be in this industry, be excellent. Make sure that whatever I say about you, I have to say, yeah, but she can make a mean montage. So make sure that kind of thing follows your reputation, because your reputation precedes you and it follows you. This is a very, very tiny industry. No matter how much we keep evolving and growing and developing, someone knows someone who knows someone. So make sure that your, let's say your brand is one of excellence. And the third thing is, you know what? Just show up on time. It's not glamorous. You don't need to buy me a drink. You don't need to take care of me. Just show up on time. Because if you show up on time, I know that I can trust you. And if I can trust you, then we can build and we can grow and we can create empires. But if you say you'll be there at 9:30 and you rock up every single day at 11:10, I can't rely on you. And that's going to affect the team. It's as much who you are as a human being, your integrity, your creativity, your excellence, but also just know you're part of a team. And so if I can rely on you, if I know you're excellent and I know who you are, you'll be good.
Tell me about the Crosspoint Consultancy, which is something you founded. How did that start?
I will change the names to protect the innocent, but there was someone that I was working with who basically didn't show up as he should have done to an interview. He was basically doing a Zoom interview. That's fine. Of course, he can do a Zoom interview. Yeah, he was abroad on holiday. Cool. I don't have a problem with that. But he was there in his bathing costume and he was naked, you know. So the three of us on the board, I'm trying to be calm and accepting and, oh yeah, of course this happens. And it was distracting. He didn't get the job. That's not why. The bare-chestedness is not the reason he didn't get the job. But when I fed back to him, I was like, next time, mate, maybe just, you know what I mean, wear a shirt or something. He looks at me and he goes, yeah, but Adele, it was really hot. And I was like, yes, but you don't understand. You're now living in a world where I don't get to meet you and shake your hand. It's all through a screen. So what I see in that square is what I'm going to think. I don't even know if you're actually naked under there or what. And you need to make me comfortable. I've realized that during lockdown, it really was a thing for some people. So those who started, in inverted commas, adult life before lockdown and after lockdown had a different experience. So if you are going to university and your first year, you're literally studying from home, from your laptop, you don't have the concept of actual communication with people. We're really intergenerational now. Not many silent era, really. You've got like baby boomers, you've got Generation X, millennials, alpha's coming up soon, eventually, Gen Z. So all those age groups and ideas and cultures are now mushing together in one bit. So someone who's in their 60s maybe will not understand for the life of them why you can't put a shirt on. But someone who's Gen Z will be like, yeah, but I'm just myself. Why can't I just be myself? So I understood at that point, really, it's about how we communicate. So how can you be the best person you can be without compromising yourself and be in a place where we can learn and there's a richness in intergenerational workplace? I understood that the stuff that I've taken for granted is not the same for everyone. That's essentially why I created the agency, because there was a need for it. I think there still is.
Your current job is producer of One Extra's breakfast show with Nadia J. Tell me about putting that show together and breakfast radio, because it's always the biggest show of the day, the high profile show of the day. It's how the station starts every day. So there's a lot of pressure on breakfast.
There is a lot of pressure on breakfast, because if the station goes down, you get in trouble. If the station goes up, they just say, thanks, keep doing it. The irony is this, though, this is a beautiful thing and possibly my favorite thing. The show itself was an accident. I'll say it, because Dottie left because she did really well and she left just around lockdown time. And while they were looking for a proper breakfast presenter, I was told that Nadia would be in just for a few months just to keep, you know, just to keep things ticking over, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And lo and behold, Nadia is so talented that she basically made them forget that there was ever anyone else that could be possibly be. So Nadia got the job. We got the show that was born out of literally the scarcity of lockdown, where I couldn't even be in the same studio as this woman. Let's not forget, they had a whole door between us. The SM was far away. My editor was, I don't know, in Yorkshire or something. My AP was, I don't know, down the road in like Southwark. It was just thinking, okay, how do we survive? I even remember how we came up with the features for the week. She's sitting outside the studio and I think Nadia got a piece of paper from the photocopy. I went, okay, on Mondays, what should we do? Tuesdays, how about Wednesdays? And then we just basically wrote this down thinking, oh, we're going to just put it together because in 2 months' time, I'll be gone, Adele, and you'll be doing the proper show. Lo and behold, the whole show was created out of that time. And I think possibly because it wasn't super produced, it was literally born out of what we're feeling at the time and then reflecting what the audience was feeling as well and being a place where they could feel safe. Don't forget, at that time too, it's still pretty scary. Let's not forget that we didn't know what was going to happen. And the voice coming out the speakers was your friend. It's a person you could complain about if you want to, and have a boogie with some songs. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure on the show. It's something that came about so organically, just like throwing things in a pot and seeing what sticks. And what worked, we kept. What didn't, we threw out. And we kind of just kept going. And so what's really, 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 really touching about the show now, it is literally a show that is made by people. The audience, us, like, it's not really about the celebrities. The celebrities come along later. So if we do get, okay, so we had, I think, Denzel Washington in a few times. We've had like Alicia Keys. So the fact is, we built a place where the audience and the breakfast team are actually one big happy family. We've had to, because when we started, we literally had nothing. We were meant to be here, a bit like my career. I was meant to be here for a week, right? And then here I am. And then the breakfast show is meant to be, what, 2-3 months. Tops, and we're now into our fourth and fifth year. Thank God, and also thank God for people that trust us, and thank God that also a harmony in the studio that hopefully reflects outside.
That's some big names you've had there. I mean, you're not mucking about. Alicia Keys and Denzel Washington.
You know, what can I say?
I just hanging with the big celebs.
Okay, here's one story and I'll stop. Listen. This job is the most bizarre job I've ever had. Nadia was playing some music in the studio and I was outside writing a script. Cool. So then these two older guys walked past me and one said to me, it's a bit loud, isn't it? And I thought it was an SM. So I turned around and said to say, oh no, sorry, are we bleeding through? It was only the Pet Shop Boys. And then I went, nah, mate. I said, you're not telling me it's loud. I said, in that case, I'll turn up even louder. Then Lauren Laverne walked past and started laughing. Then Neil Tennant went, yeah, that's right, girl. And I thought, why is this happening to me? I'm going to go get a cup of tea and then bump into, I don't know, and a car. You know what I mean? I can't explain to you. And this is what I mean again. Why am I getting fellowship for just having the blessed time to be here and just share this time? I don't understand it. I'm really blessed to be here and I don't take it for granted.
What does it mean to you to have been made a fellow of the Academy?
There are names on that sheet. Lorna Clark, Ben Cooper, who's my boss. I don't understand how I get to be in that number. So I'm still incredulous. Yeah.
Processing it.
That it is. And it is, again, I need to understand, I did not train for this. I'm a complete fake. So for me to be here for a week and gain this fellowship and then saying, hey, Denzel, it really makes me just thank my blessings and thank God for what's happening. That's the one side. But the other side, I've got to be honest, is I have to get over myself too and realize that there are people who are watching. So the thing that made me really touched is that there are people that I meet when I do the mentoring stuff that they say they haven't really thought that someone who looks like me would have got a fellowship like that. Yeah. And my history is not regular. I didn't study this. I didn't, you know, I learned on the job because I knew I had to learn on the job. To think that there's someone that's looking at me, not because I'm special, but because I am an emblem of what is possible, is actually the most important thing for me.
A big thank you to Adele Cross for being my guest. If we've all learned one thing, it's that the recipe for a great radio show is just like the recipe for a great brownie. There'll be more Meet the Fellows podcasts to come soon. The ARIA's entries close at 1 minute to midnight tonight, Wednesday, 12th of February. don't miss out. Get those entries in today. radioacademy.org/arias is where you need to go. We do have the Radio Times Moment of the Year nominations open for another couple of weeks, though. So have a think about your standout moment from 2024. It's free to enter this category. Find out more at radioacademy.org/arias/categories2025. Next week, we talk Bridget Jones Radio, the Bauer pop-up station that celebrates the new film out later this week. And my guest is producer, presenter and music scheduler Rick Simmons. I'll see you next week.